SBH's Kiss 92 and Eaton House presents Book Monsters Bedtime Stories, supported by the Singapore Women's Weekly.
Today we have Carmela, an E-Bridge teacher and Eaton House Community Fund volunteer with us. Hi Carmela, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
As an educator, you must have so many storytelling experiences and tips to share with us. What do you think is the primary concern that parents have when it comes to reading stories to children?
Well, I recall a parent once shared with me that books should only be read in school by teachers. It's not that the family did not have books at home. It was just that the parents were not sure how to read to their children. And I know that this is a genuine challenge that some parents face, and I'd like to simplify the process for them. First is to start with selecting the right book. A book that your child can relate to, has familiar experiences, and a topic that interests them will be a big hit because it is the sense of familiarity that children connect with. Next, find the right time and space. A calm space with minimal distraction when your child is well rested. Perhaps before bedtime works best, and start reading to them. It's as easy as that. You will be amazed how this simple yet powerful experience with your child will change your life.
The Little Red Hen. Billy, hurry! Hold that wheat sack from underneath! I can see it spilling, called the miller from the distant gristmill. Coming! Billy hollered back, and he grabbed the bottom of the jute sack. A single seed dropped to the ground. It was an early morning for the little red hen as she walked around the yard looking for worms. There were fewer bugs today. Clucking and pecking, the little red hen thought of her baby chicks. She had to feed them back at the henyard. So she wandered a little further. She passed the pretty grey cat snoozing on the porch rail. A silly brown mouse scurried past her in a rush. The little red hen came upon the sty, where the sleepy pink pig laid sprawled out in the sun. She turned and noticed there was something wriggling in the distance. A worm, perhaps? She crossed onto the road beyond the wooden fence. As she pecked her way over, she looked down at what she thought might be a worm. It seems like a worm, she thought. This worm was not wriggling at all, and the wind was blowing it all over the place. She plucked it up in her beak to give it a taste. But it was no worm. The little red hen wasn't sure what it was, so she brought the mysterious thing back to the farm with her. As she wandered past the front porch of the farm, she saw the farmer and the miller talking. The little red hen wanted to go by unnoticed. But before she knew it, the silly brown mouse had ruined her plans. The farmer and the miller turned around as the mouse came dashing out of the barn, loudly knocking over a bunch of tin cans. They noticed the hen immediately. "Looks like that hen of yours has something. Maybe a seed? Good thing the tear in that bag didn't go to waste," the miller said to the farmer. A seed, thought the little red hen. Back in the henyard, she fed her chicks all the bugs she had found. The hen looked at the wheat seed, and then she looked back at her baby chicks. They were chirping for more food. She knew someone had to plant this seed in the ground. She also knew that she had to find worms for her hungry chicks. What was she to do? From the yard, she could see the cat sleeping, the mouse running around, and the pig sunbathing. The little red hen clucked her way to the porch and called out, "Who will plant this seed?" The cat opened one eye and yawned. "Not I." "Not I," said the mouse and scurried off again. The pig said, "Not I," and then sprawled out into a pile of straw. "I will then," the little red hen said. She then planted the seed in the ground. So, Camilla, what are the ways in which you think can make a story come to life?
When introducing characters in the book, bring them to life with your voice. Use different tones, dynamics, and pitch. The tone also helps to express how a character feels. Your voice makes a significant difference to how your story comes across. You may also add some sound effects like that of a cat, a mouse, and a pig. And it is all right to ad-lib here and there. Just go with the flow. These effects enhance the story greatly. For example, as simple things like yawning when describing a character that is lazy or sleepy gives a real dimension to the story, just like what you did earlier. So another useful strategy to practice during storytelling is to use your facial expressions and actions. Talk and act the way the characters will do it. That's why it's very important to actually read the story before first, before reading it with your children, so that you will have an idea on how the characters' behaviors are like or what personality they have. So you could probably find a voice that is fitting to the character. When you show enthusiasm as you read a story, it creates interest, keeps the children engaged throughout the session, and it stimulates their imagination. In addition, is to pace yourself in reading. Slow down your reading when you want to create suspense, or, you know, tell it faster when it is exciting. Emphasize the words and be animated with them. Like, you know, when the farmer is hollering at the miller and then he said, "Hurry, hold that wheat sack underneath. I can see it spilling." As against a slow pace in, then she looked back at her baby chicks and they were chirping for more food. So you can see this reflects the maternal feelings and worry of the hen. You can actually, like, from just hearing this, you could feel what emotions they're depicting.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the noises that you could make when you're describing animals and all that. You could also get the kids to meow like a cat, oink like a pig as well, right?
Yes, that's right.
Which would make it more exciting for the kids.
Yes.
The summer was long and hot. She spent her mornings tending to the wheat instead of looking for worms for her babies. Her chicks were still fed, though. The porch rail grew too hot for the cat to lounge. The tin cans that the mouse loved to play in became rusted. And the pig began to prefer the shade. The wheat, however, grew and grew and grew. The little red hen knew someone had to harvest the wheat. It was time. She also knew that her babies really missed their mother. What was she to do? From beside the stalk, she called out, "Who will cut this wheat?" The cat peeked her head out from under the porch and stretched. "Not I." The mouse came up from underneath the ground and said, "Not I." The pig moseyed from its pen and said, "Not I." "I will then," said the little red hen. And she cut the wheat. So, Carmela, you know, I noticed there's also some form of repetition in this particular story, just like the other two classics that we did earlier. How do we make repetition exciting for children when reading?
Well, this story is good for vocabulary and language participation, as some phrases are repetitive. And when it is repetitive, you can invite your child to join in with the other characters in the story to invite their participation. We know that in this story, the hen would always say and ask the characters, like, "Who wants to help me?" And the reply is always, "Not I." Mm-hmm. The first time, the second time, they may not predict it's repeating, but by the third time, it will prompt them to follow along with you. So aside from that, the little red hen also has lots of opportunities to invite the children to participate in actions described in the story. Plant the grains, cut the wheat, grind the wheat are opportunities to explore, discuss, and investigate. For many children, in fact, most children in Singapore, these are new words and actions that they have not experienced before. At the same time, this book also introduces the concept of a life cycle of the wheat, from a seed to a plant and eventually food in the form of a loaf of bread. Yeah, so these are just some ideas, but this book offers many excellent opportunities to start further dialogue and exploration and even research.
Yeah, I like that. I like that very much. In the hot sun, she wobbled towards the workbench to find the farmer, the miller, and Billy. Billy noticed the impressive wheat stalk off in the distance and handed the little red hen the perfect sickle from the farmer's tools. She thanked the child and returned to her plot. As she cut the wheat and laid it on the ground to be separated and bagged, her little chicks chirped and peeped. At first, they wanted worms, but now they just dearly missed their mother. The little red hen grew sad and worried. She knew someone must winnow the wheat for the mill. She also knew that her hungry babies were now missing their mother. What was she to do? From the pile of wheat beneath her, she called out, "Who will thresh this wheat?" "Not I," the cat murmured. "Not I," the mouse sputtered. "Not I," the pig mumbled. Stunned by the sight of the wheat before her and the sounds of her chicks chirping and cooing, she let out a long sigh and said, "I will then." She gathered more bugs, fed her babies, and laid down for an afternoon nap. And then she threshed the wheat. In the hot summer sun, she looked down at her day's work. She had filled one jute sack with wheat seeds. She then called out with hope, "Who will help carry this wheat sack to the mill to be ground into flour?" "Not I," the cat, the mouse, and the pig called out in unison. "I will then," she replied. She then carried the wheat to be ground. At the same time, Billy had been running around in front of the farm. Luckily for the hen, Billy saw how tired she was from carrying the sack around the farm. Billy then offered, "Can I take that to my mother's mill to be ground into flour?" The little red hen thanked the child and returned to her henyard. With the extra time she had, she found fat and juicy worms for her babies. They were so happy to see their mother. They napped the day away. So, Carmela, if we notice that our child loves the story of the little red hen and they tend to want to hear it night after night, right? Is there another story you could suggest that we could read next?
I would like to suggest a book that is also a great sharing story and reinforces caring and sharing. This Distilling Soup. This is a story about the town coming together to combine different ingredients to create a soup that they can share with each other. Like the little red hen, this book has lots of opportunities for meaningful interactions.
Tired from all her work, it wasn't until the crack of dawn that the little red hen awoke. She saw the bag of milled flour sitting on the porch. She knew today would be a tiring day. She would have to take care of her chicks and bake the bread. So she got right to work. But she had never made bread before. A recipe is what she needed. But what she really wanted most of all was some help. The little red hen walked into the center of the farmyard and called out, "Who will make this bread?" "Not I," the cat, the mouse, and the pig sang. They had grown so used to saying it, they began to harmonize. While the other barn animals danced and sang, the little red hen replied, "I will then." And then she made the bread. Amidst the changing leaves and the crisp autumn air, the smell of baking bread lofted through the farmyard. Sensing the sweet aromas, the other animals happily swayed back and forth. They began to sing. The red hen found it difficult not to dance and sing along as well. She was tired, but she was also very excited to eat the bread. As she was removing the most delicious looking loaves from the oven, the other animals drew closer. The little red hen looked at her chicks. They were wiggling and wobbling with the excitement of the sounds and the smells in the henyard. "Who will eat this bread?" she asked. "I will," sang the animals in excitement. The grey cat flicked her tail, the mouse twitched its whiskers, and the pig rolled happily in the dust. The little red hen carried the fresh bread through the henyard. She paused at the fence to offer a loaf to Billy. And then, when she made it back to her chicks, she looked at all the other animals and replied, "No, I will." And then she did. Now, in most stories, there's usually something that we would like to teach our children, like a moral of the story. You know, all stories have that, right? How do we highlight and discuss this with the kids?
It is a feel-good story to emphasize the mother's love for her children. Responsibility, empathy, and kindness are strong elements in this story and present opportunities for discussion with the children. It is also a great way to emphasize the importance of hard work and tenacity and how the hen led by example. This story also can be an opportunity to discuss what the children would possibly do in these situations. Therefore, an excellent point of reflection to organically reinforce the values the author has communicated through the characters. For example, you could say, "Do you think the little red hen should share the bread with the other animals, even though they didn't help her make it?" Yeah, so on the other hand, for older children, you can also introduce concepts of responsible citizenry and community spirit, also sustainability around from growing local food.
From that day forward, the cat, the mouse, the pig, and the hen worked together to make the autumn bread. And there was plenty of time to dance and sing and make yummy meals together. The end. Carmilla, do you have one final tip for storytelling moms and dads out there?
I hope that families will be encouraged to have fun reading or telling stories, as it is one of the best ways to bond with your children. Show excitement when you read to them, so they will evoke the same feelings about the experience. It will make them look forward to your storytelling sessions. Don't dwell on the semantics too much and just be yourself and have fun. That's the most important thing. Just have fun.
Carmilla, it's been such a pleasure having you here with us today. Thank you so much for all those tips.
Thank you, Angel. Happy to be here.
Book Monsters, Bedtime Stories was brought to you by SPH's Kiss 92 and Eaton House. Supported by the Singapore Women's Weekly.